everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 397, the Empty the Tank episode. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android phones, and whatever else we feel like talking about. And you listen because you seem to like it. Hi, my name is Mark. I'm glad to be here with you, and I'm joined this week by your friends and mine. What are your names again? Stephen, the door-to-door geek, McLaughlin, and Eric, I've just named you the great Dini Ardini. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to, back to the show.
I used to have a tag name. It used to be the manager. I mean, if you want to use that.
Yes, I remember that.
Mark, I want to thank you for hosting the show.
I enjoy every second of it. Well, every second.
It's going to take some getting used to with a new host, but I'm already getting used to it, and you're not much different than our old one, really. I mean, as far as... not bringing apps. We haven't burdened you with having to go find a bunch of apps or anything like that. And you sound a lot better than I do.
I don't bring apps. I talk about things that are off topic, and I've got an iPhone on order, so I think I'm ready to go.
Oh, we know what happened the last time we had a host with an iPhone that lasted about 2 weeks.
I'm kidding. Okay. You will never see me. Good. I will never. I do own an iPad, but only because I won it in a raffle.
Oh, really?
I would never purchase one of those, yes.
Full size or a mini?
It's the original iPad, the very first one that everybody was paying $1,200 for, and I felt so dirty. It was one of those things where you just drop your name in a bucket, and it was an open source conference to make it even worse. And I was there, and I was, I'm well known as the open source guy, and they call my name, and I was like, it was like a shame walk. Instead of dancing up there to get it, I had my head hung. And I was like, oh, I can't believe I just won an iPad.
Oh, man, if you had video, you could have just smashed that in front of everybody.
I had people offering to buy it from me, like on my way back to the seat. I'll give you $1,000 for it. But I felt it was my duty to review it as a new piece of technology for my show that I had at the time called The Tightwad Tech. Sure. And then I did. I reviewed it. I used it. And then my kids used it as a YouTube device for the last several years. Having said that, it's still running.
Still working.
After all these years.
That's good. I remember.
I remember doing
screens on those original ones with the clips that held them in. Oh, they're a pain.
And let's be honest, all kids only care about YouTube and or Minecraft.
And cut the rope. Yeah, that's
Facebook.
It.
And cut the rope. No.
Depends on the age.
Now the kids are over
Facebook.
That's
for like teenagers.
The kids are onto Snapchat and WhatsApp. Facebook is where the grandparents are, as we talked about earlier in the week. So the kids don't want to be where the grandparents are.
Yeah. Snapchat is...
All right, so it's tank emptying time. So, Dor, start. Give us a little siphon from your tank. What do you got for us?
Okay, first one I'm going to bring, I think, is one of those devilishly smart applications that I expect a high percentage of people to actually install. Okay, this is called Ninja Snap. Okay, what this is...
Darn your door.
Sorry. I'm going to read part of the description here with a parental warning of a bad word, but it's not horrendous, but it is a bad word. Okay. We all have that douchebag friend who likes to casually invade our privacy. Okay. What this is, it's an app, and when you want to show somebody a picture, you pull up the picture in this application and hand them your phone. And if they start swiping to other pictures, your phone will then take front-facing pictures and insert those into the gallery to make it look like they're when they start swiping through all your pictures, it's pictures of that person who's swiping through your phone.
Oh, that's cool.
This is a great app. I can't wait to use it. I installed it. The thing I wish it... Okay, so I wish it would wait until they got through all of the pictures. So they were truly being a DB. So
what if you have 20,000 pictures?
No, if you selected for them to see 8 pictures, the time that they swipe to the 9th one, their picture would show up. I wish it was more like that. But if you're only showing 1 or 2 pictures, it does work just like that. So if you got 2 pictures, it'll let you switch back and forth to those 2 pictures all day long. The minute you swipe again to see what the next picture would be in the camera roll, it's them. Okay. I love that.
Well, this is only version 1.2, so maybe in version 2 of the app they'll meet that need.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Very smart.
Yeah, and it's by Cosmo Apps, which I think is another fantastic name. Okay, what I'm going to bring next I ain't going to lie. It's one of those things that really confused me and just looked weird until I actually sat down and watched the video and let it sink in. Okay, this is called Ink Space, and this is one of those apps from Android Experiments. When you're drawing on your phone, because this is a drawing app, when you're drawing on your phone, imagine you're drawing on the side of a ball. And then when you tilt or move your phone, you're shifting to a different side of that ball. And the ball is transparent. So you can literally draw in 3D space. So it's like parallax drawing interactivity. This is just one of those things weird enough, pointless enough to catch your eye and actually have some people install it just to see what kind of things they can come up with.
Yeah. This is so cool, man. Just a cool, if you want to, you know, like, kind of like anything parallax will freak out your friends the first time they see it. This one definitely will. I keep rotating this, but Mark, your name, I got all three of our names. Your name keeps not flipping over correctly. Come on, get over there.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's not just parallax. There's physics to it. You know, there's that's weird and cool and weird.
And I tried drawing like cubes. You know, I thought, well, maybe this could be useful. Well, you can't really get your edges to line up perfectly. Basically, it gets like one of those kind of flat puzzles where you have to rotate it in the right place just to get back to what you were trying to draw. It's fun though. It's a neat experiment.
Yeah, and it was just different enough to make me literally like stop in my tracks. Okay, what I got now is technically a game, but it's one of those anti-game games, I want to say. It's called Sometimes You Die by Philip Stollemeyer. E for everyone, no in-app purchases, $1.79. So this is the kind of game, Mark, you buy once, you know what you're paying. The point of this game is to die. So you have to figure out how to die. And then move forward. And then die again, and then move forward, and then die again. Basic graphics, but to be honest, very comprehensible graphics where, you know, 10 seconds into playing it, you completely understand what you're doing and what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, so it's one of those build-a-machine kind of things, but the machine is an assisted suicide machine.
That's a good way to put it.
Basically. Yeah, this was just, again, different enough. I had to, it definitely caught my eye.
Very cool.
Okay, what I'm going to bring next here, I'm going to bring, this one is called, quite arrogantly and cockily, whatever, The Best Song Discover Music. This was just another one of those music discovery apps. I'm old, I'm gray, I know what I like. I've already discovered my music, and that was like 30 years ago. But I did download this, and I did actually play with this for a while, and I was surprised. I was literally finding things like The Doors and 80s music and stuff was actually on here. There was a very wide range of stuff on this, and I will say that kind of shocked me. Just another one of those music discovery apps. E for everyone, completely free, no in-app purchases, 125 reviews with almost 50,000 downloads. So I think this could be a fun app. I'll say that.
Yeah, I've never heard of this one. I always like a good music app, and I've been stuck on songs for so long. Maybe it's time for something new. We'll give it a try.
Okay, well then I'll completely pull 180 in this non-music app.
Braille?
Franco, who is the quote-unquote kernel guy on Android. If you've ever tried to replace a kernel on your phone, you've seen the name Franco. He's involved with more than a couple ROMs with helping make them more stable. Franco and another top collaborator, who I can never remember his name, decided, let's see if we can make a picture app. This is actually right now an incredibly hot app, even though it only has 1,375 reviews and less than 50,000 downloads. This is only at version 1.0.5. This has been on the market for less than, I want to say, a week or two. The All About Android crew was like fondling over this app. And then ironically enough, which I think they already had planned, the next week they had both of the developers on the show. This to me is a great, quick, fast, responsive, and really easy picture gallery app.
It's Picasso for your phone. You remember Picasso?
Basically, yeah. Yeah, it's basically that. It does have some good search features, and it does link in with Google Photos. That, I think, is one of the highlights of the app.
That's exactly what it is. So Google bought Picasa, made Picasa Web, rolled Picasa Web into Google Photos, and now this guy has done better than all of them. than you know, he out-Googled Google.
Yeah. These guys are, I'll say this, two of the smarter developers on the planet who, say, for instance, when there's Google Play Services update, they don't even pay any attention to it because they don't care what Google's offering as their core APIs because they roll their own, okay? These are the kind of developers, if they want something done, they just do it themselves. And they're that smart and that good to be able to do it. So I highly encourage people, if you like your picture and your gallery type applications, you have to check out Focus. I guarantee you it's going to be on your phone for at least a little while.
See, this would never work for me. I only take, you know, a couple of pictures a year. I probably have a dozen apps, photos on my phone total. But it's a neat idea, I guess.
Yeah, I take 10 times more screenshot snaps than I do actual pictures.
I'm sure my wife would love this. She's that's the reason I don't take pictures. I don't have to. I know that every moment of my life is documented on my wife's phone, so I don't have to worry about it.
I
can actually enjoy the vacation.
You guys have kids. I'm like, how do you guys not be taking pictures all the time? Those ages.
And my oldest daughter has picked up the bug, and so she's got, you know, the old, remember when we used to use cameras instead of phones? So yeah, we've got an old camera, and so she grabs that thing. So we went on, you know, a little weekend mini vacation last month, and between the two of them, they took 600 photos in 3 days, and I took like five.
Like a digital camera or a 35mm camera?
Yeah, like a digital camera. Oh, yeah, we're not that old school.
But my daughter's got that Fujifilm Instamatic camera. Like, it's kind of like the old Polaroids.
Yeah, going way back.
Yeah, well, this is new. You can still buy it at Walmart even. But the pictures are really little. They're like, I don't know, like half the size of a baseball card when they come out of the thing.
That's so funny that you know, Polaroid invented that like in the 50s, and now we can do it almost as well. What's that about?
Yeah. Well, the cartridges are only $26 for like 10 pictures or something. So, you know, they know how to market it better now or something to make more money after all.
All right, Eric, since you're doing the talking now, why don't we have a little taste of your tank? What do you got
for us?
I got to bring one more. I got to bring one more.
I was going to come back to you.
I know, but I got to bring this one right now because this is groundbreaking.
Okay. Doors.
This is groundbreaking and revolutionary.
Don't leave any on the floor.
This is a revolutionary app.
Don't leave any on the floor door.
This is revolutionary. And this is from the most innovative company I think any of you guys have ever heard of. And I guarantee you, this is totally new to you.
Yeah,
you've never seen this before.
I just opened up the link. Thanks.
This is ICQ video, free video calls and chat.
Oh, it's still got.
And it's a picture of a cat.
The same logo as it had in 1993.
Yeah, you want to talk about a company that peaked 20, 30 years ago? I cannot believe these guys are not only still around, but they literally did an Android app that you can do quote unquote free video calls and chat.
That's unheard of. Really?
They're rocking. 370,000
There's nothing
reviews.
I can say. Well, obviously they're bought or something.
This has to be like really popular in some other country right now or something where Google Plus and Facebook's banned maybe.
Uzbekistan maybe. I don't know. But okay, the developer's out of Israel and it says it has over 10 million installs.
That's got to be counting the desktop app.
I don't know. I'm literally flabbergasted. There is no words I can use to describe this.
I know the words I'm going to use. Our new Voxer.
Yeah.
No?
No comment, Eric. No, I don't want to video call you, number one. Number two, they guarantee it. They don't have group stuff.
Well, they do. It says so right there on the webpage.
It says your new Voxer.
Group chat. Stickers. It's got stickers and emoji. How could you go wrong?
Don't forget smileys.
You had me at emojis, Eric. Or Mark. I'm done. I can't believe this. This is all I got to say. I cannot believe this. I mean, Commodore 64 made a phone. That's more believable than this.
I like Crystal Yerian's review. Would be great if it worked. Update. Works better. after update, but takes over my text messages, and now I get two texts every time, from one from my original app and one from ICQ, and you also can't stop it. Annoying. I tried turning it off notifications, but that only resulted in not receiving video calls, which is the only reason I'm using this app. It seemed to still have a lot of work on fixing the bugs. But they did. They came right back and said, hey, Crystal, please turn off MSN messaging in setting. This feature is made to show you who from your friends is ready for free texting in ICQ app. Neither of them are typing English.
And two of the comments that ICQ wrote is, would you send your phone number to our support team? So this is really just a phone number harvesting. You release an app that doesn't work, and the only way you can get support for it is your phone number.
No, I think that depends on your profile picture.
Worst app, says Nicole Harrison. I never get my messages unless the dumb app is open. I don't recommend this app. Update, still don't get messages. Thank you for the update, Nicole.
Xavier says, yay, great, cool. You, this app is so cool. It's great. It has a freaking nice retro 2000 vibe. Love it. Reminds me of my first date, my very first job in 2001. 5 stars. Oh, see, Dora, you like songs from the 80s. People like messaging apps from the 90s.
I have no words. I mean, why don't we just get MSN Messenger while we're at it?
Oh, I bet that's coming. Microsoft's been heavy on the Android lately.
You forced me to do this, Dora. I wasn't going to. But as long as we're strolling down memory lane, this isn't an Android app, but since we just did ICQ, I think I'm safe. Either of you guys ever played Mario, M-A-R-I-0? So a guy asked the question, what would happen if you gave Mario a portal gun? So he's completely recreated the Mario game, Super Mario Brothers, but Mario has a portal gun.
Nice.
It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
It's free. It's open source. It's not available on Android, but I had to throw it out there since we were talking about it. It's hours of very difficult fun.
Huh. So the portal gun doesn't...
I'm watching a YouTube video now.
Does the portal gun help you make it easier than it would be in the normal Mario game?
Well, sure. I mean, if you got a difficult, Bowser, you could just shoot a portal here, shoot a portal above him, and teleport away from him.
That's what I was thinking.
That's genius. This is literally crazy. That's all I got to say. Literally crazy.
That's like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, man. Two great things that taste great together. I love Portal and Mario.
In some of the areas where you, go down the pipes, you end up in a portal level. So, you're playing the Mario game, and now you're in a portal level.
Oh,
and you finish that, and you go back to the Mario game.
That's funny.
See, that sounds really cool. And, if you were ever in Mario Brothers and you saw a jump that you just couldn't make, guess what? You can now.
You got a line of Koopas coming at you. Just shoot a portal on the ground and shoot one behind you, and they
fall right in. That's cool. Thanks, Mark. That's cool. I like that.
Thanks for ruining my time. This is going to be bad. That's all I got to say.
It's been around a long time. I played it, many years ago, but since we were flashing back to 1999, I felt safe.
Will it install on your retro rig door somehow?
Honestly, hard to say. I don't know because I'm too busy staring at the YouTube video.
Well, it was written in Java, so I don't know why you couldn't port it, and the source code's available. So somebody with some talent, meaning not me, could probably port this to an Android app, in a fairly short amount of time.
I agree. Wow. Time killer.
All right. Moving on from that. Eric, what do you have for us?
I've only got two left in my tank. Dor took some of my best ones, so I'm going to give you the scrapings off the bottom. When you empty your tank, sometimes there's that little corner that you didn't quite get. That's where I'm at. At least with this one. This isn't bad. This is another Android experiment. It's called Grove. Basically, it is a randomly generated landscape that you can manipulate slightly with a few very rudimentary controls. Basically, you can turn trees on and off, switch the types of trees. And things like that. But it's just showing the power of Android and how it can make a beautiful random scenic view. It's called Grove by Simon Gielfus.
Very cool. So if you need a random background image for something that you're doing, you could open up Grove, take a screenshot, and there you go.
That's true.
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. And my next one, actually, Mark Serrault, who made the 400 Android app, 400 Android App Addicts wear watch face, he sent me a link of a video he was showing how to do some stuff with Watchmaker, and he recorded it on an app called Meerkat. And I had never heard of Meerkat. Meerkat live stream video. Basically, you can live stream from your phone, and people can go on there and just watch it. You can have subscribers and things like that. Meerkat subscribers will get a notification when you just launched your stream, and they can tune in and watch it. Kind of like Steve Cherubino used to bring that Street Jelly. Kind of similar to that, I guess, but not just for music.
I'm pretty sure you have to have a Twitter account for this to work.
Yeah, by the way. I think so.
Yeah, yeah. This and Periscope both tie into Twitter. I believe Periscope was like immediately bought by Twitter. So this is like the rebellious version of it, where you're not using the Twitter app, you're using this one. They both basically do the same thing. I do believe for a little while, Meerkat was the only one that after broadcasting you could still get, where Periscope, right after broadcasting, it would die.
Oh, and
couldn't watch it again.
Huh. Yeah, you definitely can.
That's why I prefer this.
Yeah, I went back and watched Mark's video that he had recorded that time. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if I ever want to be that quote unquote connected to use this app, but it's interesting.
Well, one of the features on the thing says streams will be, people can only watch it live. There are no reruns. So maybe that has changed.
I don't think it was live when I was watching. Maybe it was. I did. I don't know. I'd have to go back.
It's like Snapchat for video, right? You can do boob shots and they disappear after you're done.
Huh.
Something like that.
Well, maybe I was watching them live and I didn't know it. Meerkat is not allowed to graph. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe. I'd be interested if maybe I was watching them live. I just didn't realize it. And I thought it was right after the show. We have to save. Oh, so you can save it. He has to save it. They don't save it themselves, maybe. He saves it on his server, maybe, or something.
Fair enough.
That's gotcha. My tank's empty, man. Thanks for listening to my two apps on the Empty the Tank show.
Well, it's better than my one, so you're, 100% better. Dor, anything else that you just absolutely have to bring?
Well, there's one more I'm going to bring. It's actually from a link. I got to take off all the crap stuff from the end of the URL. One second. It's actually a thing I saw on Make Tech Easier. How to encrypt and decrypt files on your Android device. You can encrypt and decrypt your phone, your entire drive on newer Android devices. But sometimes you just want to encrypt or decrypt a single file. So I saw this one from that link. This one looks like it's pretty decent. We all should at least be aware of encryption and how to do it, because you never know when you're going to have to store something on your phone that is literally sensitive, like social security numbers or something else, and that you want to put a little bit more protection over, if you will. Nothing is impenetrable. Nothing is perfect. This does use AES 256-bit in encryption, which is good, but I believe by default how you lock and unlock it is by a password. I don't know how long the password can be, if it can be real complex, but I would highly encourage at least a 20 character password, because if it's just a PIN number, which is what it looks like, it's a 4-digit PIN that should take hackers less than a second to decrypt, but at least they'll have to know how to do it.
So it looks like you need to install the Androgneto 2 hide files app on there to do it.
Thank you for pronouncing that, Eric. Yes. What I would say is, if you really want to use this, install the app, encrypt the files, hide the files, and then uninstall the app. And then when you're ready to get the information off your phone, then you go back and install the app again.
Now, if you want to encrypt your whole phone, that But you then have to use a password every time you turn your phone or unlock your phone then, right? That's really my biggest bear. No? Oh.
No. Okay. No. It's just at boot level, it gets decrypted. It's just like how it is now. You can make it to when you turn your phone on, it goes to your lock screen. You got to enter a code or a passcode or a shape to unlock it.
But you don't have to.
Or if you want, you can just turn off the lock screen.
Oh.
No.
Well, so why would you not? Is there a performance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Significant. Yes. It depends on the device. I know on the Nexus 9, I want to say, which is the first 64-bit OS of Android, on that tablet, what I keep hearing from people who have the tablet, utterly ridiculously significant slowdown when you encrypt the drive. And when you decrypt the drive, it's nearly usable.
Would an encrypted drive helped Jared from Subway?
Yes. Nothing would have helped him.
Yeah, it's so weird. I was just watching the South Park the other day of him when he told everybody that he lost all his weight because he had AIDS on South Park, and then like literally the next day he's on the news for this. And when he said he lost all his weight with AIDS, it's because he had personal aides who helped him, you know, do his exercise and feed and eat correctly and things like that. Those AIDS, not the AIDS with an E at the end.
Gotcha. Oh no, I have not been able to watch that show for about 15 years now.
Really? Because the kids in your house or what?
Yeah. No, because it's just pointless. There's nothing to gain from it. After the Super Nintendo, no, the Ultra, the Nintendo 64 South Park game was about when I just gave up on them.
Oh, yeah.
I found better things to do, like get drunk and stuff.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of any of their sanctioned video games, but their show's funny, I think.
I'm neutral. I am Switzerland. I have no opinion. Okay, but Mark, don't forget ICQ free video calls and chat makes FaceTime look like poo.
Mark this date, episode 397 of Android App Addicts. The world has changed.
It's the day we all switched to ICQ. Yeah, I can't wait, man. I'm waiting for your invite right now, Dor. My friend request.
Okay, 208-6111.
That's right. Oh, man.
That's my ICQ ID.
All right, I'm going to type that one in.
I've forgotten you couldn't even be a name. That's right, it was a number. It was like CompuServe and ICQ. Those were the two things right in the world.
Right, and I literally forget Mother's Day, like 2 out of 3 years, yet I know my ICQ number.
That really was your ICQ
type
number.
It way more often.
208-611.
I'm going to have to log into my Yahoo email account to see if I can even retrieve my ICQ number.
There was a time when all sophisticated technology users had a Yahoo.com email address. Mm-hmm. You could judge somebody's skills by the address they had. And if it was Yahoo, they were on top of things.
Right. And now I say that was just around the time when AltaVista, search.com, and download.com were starting to hit. And I just literally logged into it because you can go to icq.com and log in. And I just did log in with my 208-6111.
And you didn't have to have a password?
And I remembered my old password, too. Yeah, I remember my old password.
Have you been using the same password for 15 years?
No, he had LastPass back then, too. He was a beta user.
Super advanced.
Are you going to check up? Are you going to check up on me, Mark? No, I haven't. You can even download the OS X Windows Phone and Mac OS X client.
Well, yeah.
Windows Phone. I'm glad they got that market in there. ICQ will live and die on the Windows Phone market.
I wonder if I can get that for that tablet. What was that OS? Sailfin? Sailfish?
Sailfish.
Whatever's on there.
Go for the Firefox phone, Eric. Go for the Firefox
phone. Oh, I can't get a phone. I can't get a phone. Tablet. Tablet, maybe. Not phone.
Well, while we're on that subject, I am in the market for a new phone. So what better audience to ask than to make a recommendation for my new phone? So I've been squirreling away my pennies, so I'm ready to go. Here are my requirements. I want a flagship quality phone. I don't know that I'm willing to necessarily specify 64 bits and 4 gigs, Dor, but I want a high quality phone. I want a pure or at least relatively uncluttered Android experience. So I would be fine with Oxygen OS or Cyanogen Mod. There's close enough to pure. It needs to be rootable, and ideally,
I would like it to come to me rooted. There are a few that do that, but not many. So Android App Addicts audience, begin your recommendations now. What phone should Mark buy?
Well, and do you have a size preference? Smaller, bigger?
I like the 5 to 5.5 range.
Okay. Do you have a preferred carrier, or it really doesn't matter? You're willing to switch?
Unfortunately, I'm stuck with AT&T.
Well, that's not bad. AT&T actually has good choice, good selection, because you can get international phones, some international phones, and bring them over. I will say, just because you say rooted, you absurdly cut off a huge, instead of cutting off the fat, you're cutting off the meat, and all you're left with is the fat, because really, then you're going to be stuck with Nexus devices. Everything else is going to go through a hit and miss cycle of, is it rootable? Because you'll have, let's say, Samsung Galaxy Note 5. It's rootable. And then an update comes out. And then it's not rootable for a couple of weeks. And then it's rootable. And then an update comes out. And then it's not, for weeks on end. So really, you have to have a quote-unquote Nexus device, unless you buy international. I will never buy a phone again directly from a carrier, because anything you buy international does not have the locks and the blocks from getting root. The hurdles in your way to getting root is never insisted upon by Samsung, HTC, LG, Motorola, or anybody. It's by the carriers, because they do not want you to tether.
The unfortunate reality is that rooting is even getting harder to do on the Nexus devices. So starting with Lollipop, once you root your device, you can no longer get an OTA update. Anytime an update comes out, I have to download the binary and flash it to my phone myself. And then as soon as I do that, it breaks root and I've got to go reroot it. So Google, the company that sort of built their castle on letting you have control, is now trying to take that control back from you.
Well, on their official blog, they still don't call it rooting. They call it opening the device. So I'll say the core people on the team still want it to be the standard, not the thing that happens outside the norm. I guarantee you, if you get international devices and you root it, you're going to be able to get OTAs. Now, I'm sure once you get the OTA, it will break root and you're going to have to redo it. But I'll say this. Do you have the last question? Are you sensitive to devices that, when you boot up, might have foreign language characters on the front of them?
I don't care.
Okay. Because some people do. So I will say there is a wide range of devices out there not sold in U.S. markets that are immediately rootable that you can have to pick from. So I'll say you guys can send in all the Note 5 stuff you want, and 6 Edge S and LG 4 and all this kind of stuff. But bottom line, he's going to get to a point where he is either not going to be able to get root, or it's just going to be not updated OS. So,
or I'll have to strip the original one off and put Cyanogen on and use that, or Oxygen on. And I'm okay with that. But, you know, one of the things I like about the Nexus devices is that it's a pure experience, and it's a pure experience designed for that hardware. I ran Cyanogen for several years, and it's always hit or miss, because it's not custom built for that hardware. It's built for a wide range of hardware, and it might work mostly, but it's never going to work completely.
Right. And I will say, these supposedly 2 Nexus devices we're going to hear about here soon, they both really interest me. And I'll just throw out there on the flip side for you, Mark, it's probably too small. But I guarantee you the Moto G is going to be popular enough, everyone's going to be rooting that thing. Because this is the old hacker mentality of, if you put out a Raspberry Pi that costs $300, you're not going to have much community around it. You're not going to have much people doing stuff around it. If you put out a $35 Raspberry Pi, you're going to have all kinds of people doing all kinds of stuff. The Moto G is cheap. It's really cheap.
And
it's
the rule in my house, arbitrary as it is when you don't get a cell phone till you're 13. My oldest daughter will be turning 13 in October, and I've already decided the Moto G is the phone for her. It's cheap enough to be, I'm not going to be heartbroken if she breaks it. It's waterproof. It's solid. So yeah, that's the one I'm going to buy for her. I think it's a little too underpowered for me.
I will say it is underpowered, but if you've never experienced the Moto, their new Moto philosophy of OSs, you can have a device sitting next to it with much more power and much more RAM and much more everything else. That Moto device will act and react faster because it's so honed for that hardware. The new Moto X, to be honest, is the one that I'm looking at quite intently about my next possible device. But if I buy it, I'm not buying from a U.S. carrier. I'm going to buy the international version because I know I can unlock the bootloader and root it without any questions asked. Or, and even if you buy it international, you literally might have hotspot tethering as a default option you can just enable and don't have to worry about notifying your carrier, let's say.
Yeah, if I were inclined to do that, my Nexus 5 has a hotspot button on it. Of course, that would be breaching my AT&T end user license agreement, so I would never admit to doing that on a show with thousands of listeners. But the option is there. I have noticed that passively in the past.
I'll say I'm 99% sure I'm not breaching my contract. Oh, wait. That's because I didn't read it. That's why.
And I'm with you on that. Once I went Nexus 1 in 2010, I will never again buy from a carrier. It's a sucker's game. You end up paying for your phone three or four times.
Rhino says Moto X Pure Edition. That's his recommendation in the chat room.
That's the one that's not sold in, I believe, the Moto X Style is the one you can get. The Moto X Pure is not even planned yet to be sold in the U.S. So they're not sure of American carrier compatibility yet, I think.
Rhino's suggesting the Moto G. I've certainly looked at that one. It's a high-quality phone.
The OnePlus 2 is too big for you?
No, I'm not opposed to the OnePlus 2. There's two things that make me a little... my wife has the OnePlus 1, and I would not hesitate to buy that phone. The OnePlus 2, they're making a number of changes that I think are changes for the sake of changing that kind of make me back off of it. The USB Type-C, there's no NFC in it. Why would you step away from NFC?
Yeah, that's odd.
Well, it's so you can sell it for $300. That's why. And I get it, but I'm actually stepping back from the OnePlus fanboyism based on the pre-release stuff. Well, not even pre-release. It's out now. The information about the OnePlus 2, just because I think they're making compromises that they didn't really need to make.
I'll just say this, and anybody out there, please send all your hate mail to steve@smdcomputing.net. Yeah. Count the number of times in a week that you cannot use NFC, Mark, and I guarantee you it's going to be nearly, if not more than 50%, because you cannot hand your phone to a waitress and say, oh, here, take my phone to the thing, and it will work, trust me.
Right, but that's a matter of time. Yes, it's early adopter, and I get that. And I love using it at McDonald's. It's one of my favorite places, not for food, but for paying. But I recognize it's early, but it's only going to get more popular. And for OnePlus to be backing away from something that is clearly the future, I think their gamble is that it's the future 3 to 5 years from now, and by then you'll have another phone.
I'll say it's not the future, and in fact, it's going to become much less popular.
With chip and pin
and stuff that is inevitable here. Right now, we're just going to chip and signature. For people to keep adding accounts and stuff to their phone, and then when they're sitting there clicking through screens and figuring out, well, I want this to go against this card, because the huge majority of at least American families have at least 5 credit cards. And it's much easier to go into your wallet and pick out the card that you need, and much quicker than going through an interface and saying, well, this time I want to use this card and then do the NFC. And I don't know how much you used NFC. Typically, it never worked the first time for me. I always had to sit there and tap, 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 like 4 times to get it to work.
Yeah.
Now, that has not been my experience with the Nexus. It's just worked every time.
I've used NFC maybe twice, for sure once, and that's probably been... maybe right when I first got the Note 4, and I've never used it again. I just don't know. I think it's too much to think about when you're going up to the checkout line. Oh, man, I wonder if they do it here. Then it won't. It'll be awkward. How about I just take cash out of my back pocket and just give it to her? Let's do that instead. I just never find myself ever doing that.
You and I are, you two are both expressing a lifestyle very different from my own. I almost never carry cash, and I don't do credit cards. I have a single debit card, and I pay for everything with that. So both of those two experiences are just not in my world.
I'll say
you're the exception of the rule, because the average is 5 cards per family in the U.S.
I have,
and the best thing I ever did in my life... Excuse me. The best thing I ever did in my life was get out of credit card debt. I'm not going back.
Yeah, I have.
I don't care what it takes. I will sell a kidney. I'm not going back.
I have no credit cards either. I've got a debit card, but I take out. I usually take out a large amount of cash every week, and I run off of cash only. 'Cause it lets me see what I'm spending better. I think I feel it, you know, when I have to peel off those bennies. And then I can make it rain too, Mark. How you do that?
Yes, you can. I wave my NFC around.
Right. I'll tell you, I don't use cash at all, ever. What I did like the idea about the NFC at first was it was hitting my Google card, not my bank card, not my debit card, not any card, but my Google card. So I could allocate funds to that. And my logic was if that gets hacked, it's much less dangerous than my bank account getting hacked. This is why I love my PayPal card. I can allocate funds into that. So I know if I take it someplace and use it and it gets hacked, they're not hitting the master funds tied with the wife. They're just hitting the PayPal funds. So I loved that aspect of it. And I really wanted it to be my sole means of paying for stuff. I just found it too cumbersome. And I will say quick charging, I don't like the fact they don't have that in OnePlus 2. But wireless charging is still pointless. It is so slow.
Are you kidding me? I use Qi charging all the time. I love it. In fact, I would really hate to go away from it.
It is 4 times slower than how my charging is right now. And that's just the fact. It's 4 times slower than my charging that I do because I have the high, because the cable quality matters. I can completely charge my phone well under an hour from zero battery, well under an hour. And if you do wireless charging, you have to leave it there a long time to get the
That's true. But voltage. What happens, at least in my experience, and I don't want to draw this out. We're verging on miniseries status as it is with this show. But because I have a puck at my desk and I have one at the table beside the bed and I have one in the couch, I'm constantly charging my phone. So it's trickle charging throughout the day because every time I lay my phone on the table, boom, it's charging. So, yeah, I think there are trade-offs. Yes, it's slower, but I'm also constantly charging and I don't have to mess with a cable. I haven't broken a cable. I haven't walked off and forgotten there was a cable connected. Maybe you're smarter than me and you never do that, but I certainly have done that. And the Qi charging has changed my life in a little way, but still it was a life change.
I would love to have
the only place I want it.
I'd like to have it
to me.
Go ahead.
The only place I want it is the place I don't see it, which is in my car holder, in my dash mount. That's where I would want Qi charging. I would love to be able to just slap my phone in the charger where it is and it's not moving for a long time and have that charge. But I haven't seen them. That's the only place I do not like having my phone plugged up.
I'd like to get it. You know, I'm like you, Mark. I've got my phone charging next to me everywhere I'm at. I would like to spare my micro USB port, you know, sometimes. So that it doesn't, you know, once it breaks, then I have no choice. I have to go to that kind of charging. Honestly, the only thing I really plug my phone in for is for charging. So, you know, and the Note 4 doesn't come stock with wireless, I don't think. So I just, I don't know.
Yeah. I recently backed a project on Kickstarter called Z Snaps. Maybe you guys heard of it. It's a USB insert with a magnetic connector.
Yeah.
I bought like 5 of those things. I'm looking forward to that because even though I do wireless charge my phone, my kids don't. They're tablets. And guess what breaks? It's the screen and the charging port that breaks. And so I bought a bunch of those for all of my kids' tablets.
I just wonder if the...
Those are genius.
I wonder if the throughput in there is as good as just a straight connection. That was my only thought on it.
Should be.
They say it is. And my favorite thing is they've worked it out where it's reversible. So you can just flip it on either way and, you know, it doesn't matter.
Oh.
So...
That's nice, yeah, too.
It is actually really smart because what you get is a little stub and you push that into the micro USB port and it's not zero bump. There's just a little bump there and that's the magnetic part where it just links up. That to me is genius. And I will say I now did find, I've looked before and I've never seen them, wireless Qi car mounts on Amazon. So I'm going to look through them. See one that looks decent because I know if it's a cheap Qi charger, I'll have the what I call the Chris Berry syndrome, which is it still won't charge faster than it's discharging if I'm navigating.
I think it was at CES earlier this year. The company unveiled Qi charging with a range of like 3 meters. So you don't even have to put it on the pad. You just have it in the room. Of course, you're you know, microwaving your own brain.
I was going to say, I like wearing one on this here and then putting my phone up to this one while I'm talking. It really makes this conversation go so well. Macs have had the mag connector forever, and that's so smart, man. I've got a fairly recent HP laptop, And it's got a big old plug that hangs out of it that you just have to bang on everything. There's no way around it. I don't see how in these days that they know that it'll work, that they still create things that can break so easily.
Well, I think because Apple licensed it or patented it, rather, and that's how nobody else can do it. Because I have a wonderful Asus laptop that I've broken the power jack on four times. And finally, I just had to chuck the laptop because it became useless. And it's still, I mean, it's a quad core i7 with like 12 gigs of RAM. It's a great laptop. Yeah. And I can't use it because finally I've just broken it to the point where I broke it right off the motherboard.
Crazy, man. Wow. I think Apple would license it to them for a little bit or make one that's ugly. Who cares? Maybe it'll stick out and look like a half a turtle, you know, hanging off the side.
Well, with USB-C coming to most devices and the Z-Snaps, they can manage to get around it. That problem is solved.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I'll throw out there, listeners, if you have a wireless Qi charging car mount that you suggest I get, send me an email because I'm not going to buy one for at least a month.
Does the OnePlus have the wireless built into it, or do you have to add a different kind of battery or something to your device?
So the OnePlus doesn't have it. The OnePlus doesn't have wireless charging. That's a negative in my opinion. And there, I've seen some hacks where you could make a custom case that plugs into the USB port and does Qi charging. But I'm not willing to go that route.
Yeah, same here.
So I recognize that I'm probably going to have to give this up when I move to my next device. But it will sadden me a little. But, you know, with the new charging 80% in 20 minutes, you know, maybe it's not a big deal. Or ideal. How about this, phone companies or hardware manufacturers? Make a phone that lasts all day that I don't have to charge. That would be great.
Well, the OnePlus 2 is supposed to have a really nice battery life.
Yeah, I'm so jealous of my wife's OnePlus 1. She gets like 17 hours out of that thing. And, you know, I've charged three times in that time.
Yeah, my wife has Samsung Galaxy S6. I don't know how she gets the battery life she does because she has this screen on the most highest brightness. I mean, literally, I can't look at her screen sometimes because it hurts my eyes. And yet, I never see her put it on the charger. And most nights when we go to bed, it's not on the charger. So I don't know how she does it. But that phone apparently gets good battery. Yeah, I'll say that.
Yeah, my Note 4, I have to buy a new battery door to get the Qi charging. That's $35. But then it's just the back. So
Yeah, it's worth it.
I like my front cover though, like this. But then this is also my back, so I have to. I don't know. We'll see. My LED one never came in. I'm still bummed about that. And I keep looking at them every day. If that had Qi charging and LEDs, that'd be a product.
Add a little chrome in there, and you got everything you could ever need.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, gentlemen. I think it's time to say goodnight to our fair listeners. Eric, any last words of wisdom before we say goodnight?
No. We had one voicemail earlier this week. Send some of them in. Maybe you can all send Mark some voicemail recommendations for what phone he should buy next.
All right. Dor, how about yourself?
I thought I already said, but thanks everyone for support. Thanks everyone for coming out. Thanks everyone for podcast.com/Amazon. And don't forget, support other people, support those who support us. Mark Cockrell supports us. Don't forget to go to Element OP and check out their Amazon affiliate link as well.
Yes, elementop.com. That's my home on the web. Check me out. Say nice things. It would be a nice change. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me hang out with you. And we'll see you next time.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.